Well, on January 1st, 2018, an approximate 145 million Americans made a decision that their life was going to be different in the coming year. Something was going to change for them. Now, 41 million Americans decided this would be the year when they were going to lose weight and start to live a healthier lifestyle. 36.4 million Americans decided this would be the year that they found more joy in their daily living, that they started to enjoy the small things in life. 30 million Americans decided this would be the year when they were going to spend less and save more. Yes, on January 1st, 45% of our country's entire population made a New Year's resolution of some kind. Now, of those people who made resolutions, 18% said they wanted to read more books, 15% said they wanted to learn some new skill, 7% said they wanted to go on more dates, 12% said they wanted to focus more on their appearance, and oddly enough, 3% said they wanted to focus less on their appearance. Now, all these resolutions are different. They're all unique and based on a person's context, but they all share one common characteristic, one thread that ties them all together. All of these resolutions involve quitting. Quitting unhealthy eating habits. Quitting reckless spending. Quitting wasting time on those things that don't give you life so you have more time to spend on those things that do give you life. They all require you to stop something you're doing. You see, before you can begin a new healthy way of living in the world, you must first quit your old way of living in the world. Which is why for the next few weeks, our church is going to be starting a new sermon series that we're calling I Quit. It's a sermon series where we are going to look at those areas in our life where God is calling us to make a change. What are those unhealthy things we've been doing that we need to change so that we can follow the healthiness that God desires for us, that call God desires for us? After all, quitting is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing. In fact, sometimes quitting is the best thing you can do for yourself. Who knows, maybe 2018 is finally the year when our community looks at our church and says, Pioneer Shania Methodist, I know those people. Those are a bunch of quitters. Of course, as most of you know, the hardest part of quitting is not actually the quitting part. The hardest part of quitting is staying quit. And maybe that's why most New Year's resolutions fail within the first 2 weeks. And given the fact today is January 14th, most of us will end up back at Bojangles tomorrow spending way too much money eating by ourselves, thinking about our appearance either too much or too little. And why do the resolutions fail? Everyone has their reason. Everyone has their excuse for why it is they can't be the person God calls them to be. In fact, Benjamin Franklin once said this. He said, "He that is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else." You see, often it's easier for us to explain away why it is we can't do something than it is for us to truly believe that we can. All of which brings us back to our scripture passage this morning in the story of the rich young ruler. You see, one day Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Jerusalem when a man came up to him and asked him a question. "Good teacher," the man said, "good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to the man, "You know the commandments. You know exactly what it is you're supposed to do. You need to honor your father and mother. You know you shouldn't commit adultery or steal or kill. You shouldn't bear false witness against your neighbor." And the man said, "I've done all those things." He said, "I've done those things since I was a boy." Jesus said, "Well, there's just one more thing you need to do." He said, "I want you to go out, I want you to sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and then I want you to come and follow me." Now notice for a moment, notice. Jesus is inviting this man to become the 13th disciple. Just like Peter, James, and John, he's saying the exact same thing to him, the exact same words, follow me. Make a change in your life. Do something different. Come and explore this great journey that we are going to be on, this journey of faith together. Follow me, he says. But did the man do it? Well, no. Said the story goes, the man went away grieving. You know, as far as I can tell, this is the only time in the scripture, the only time in the entire Bible where Jesus invites someone to be a disciple and the person chooses not to go. And why didn't he go? Why didn't he follow Jesus? What was his excuse? According to the scripture, the man was just too illiquid. He just had too many possessions. Yes, he that is good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. Sometimes, you see, it's our excuses. They stand in the way of us becoming the person God desperately wants us to be. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Moses in the Old Testament. The story where God comes to Moses, telling Moses he has a great plan for his life, a great calling for his life. God says to Moses, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. I need you, Moses, to be the voice of liberation for my people. I need you to announce good news to them. I need you to stand up. This is what you are made for. This is what you are called for. This is why you have air in your lungs, Moses. All you have to do is go. Moses turned to God and said, Yeah, I'm going to have to pass. He said, you know, I'm not really good in front of crowds and public speaking. It's not really my thing, and I never finished seminary. And, well, I need you to find someone else, God. Excuse. After excuse, after excuse. Follow me, Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Follow me. But the man went away grieving because he had many possessions. You see, we all have our reasons why we don't think we can do the thing God's calling us to do. We all have our explanations as to why we think it's impossible. And yet, of course, the more excuses we give, the more opportunities to live out our calling just pass us by. He that is good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. Well, I can't read this passage of Scripture without thinking about a story told by Bishop Will Willimon about a Bible study he was leading one evening with a bunch of college students, and they were looking at this passage of Scripture. The story of the rich young ruler, they were discussing why it was this man decided not to follow Jesus when he was given the invitation. They were looking at the different versions of the story and the different gospel when all of a sudden one of the college students raised his hand and asked a question. He said to Willimon, Pastor, let me ask you, do you think Jesus knew this young man before he asked him to sell everything he had and give it to the poor? Do you think they had a prior relationship? Somewhat surprised, Willimon said, well, I don't think so. I mean, the scripture doesn't say anything like that. Why do you ask? The student said, you know, it just seems to me that Jesus must have had a lot of faith in this man to actually believe he could do something that great. He must have really believed in him to think that he could do something like sell everything he had and give it away. I mean, that takes a lot of belief in a person. I don't think anyone believes in me that much, not even my parents, but it seems like Jesus does. I don't know. He said, I just think that's good news that God would trust us so much. You know, oftentimes when we come to church, we talk about all the faith we need to have in God. Oftentimes we come to church and we talk about how we need to believe in God more. But maybe today we just need to pause for a moment. We just need to pause and we need to remember, how much God believes in us, how much faith God has in us. After all, Noah was a drunk and Abraham was too old and Isaac was a daydreamer, but God had faith in them. And God was able to do amazing things with their life. And Jacob was a liar and Joseph was in jail and Moses had a stuttering problem, but God didn't let those reasons stand in his way. And Gideon was afraid and Rahab was a prostitute and Naomi was a widow, but God called them anyway, so no excuses. No reasons for why you can't do the thing God is calling you to do. Don't you know God believes in you? Don't you know God has faith in you? Don't you know God trusts you? So why would you ever doubt yourself? After all, Jonah ran from God and Martha worried about everything, and the Samaritan woman was divorced more than once, but God had faith in them. And Zacchaeus was too small, and Paul was too religious, and Timothy was too young, but God believed in them. So no excuses. No reasons for not doing the thing God is calling you to do. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me. Miroslav Volf is a Croatian professor of theology who was once asked whether or not he could find a way in his heart to forgive the Serbian rebels that had destroyed his village as a child. Could he find a way to show love to those people who had caused him so much pain, to forgive those people who had burned down his church and sacked his community? Miroslav said he thought about the question for a moment, then paused and shook his head and said no. He said, you know, I don't think I could ever forgive someone like that. But I think God could. And because God could, I know I must. You see, we all have our reasons for why we don't think we can do something. We all have our excuses, but God is bigger than all of them. So may 2018 be a year for you when you finally believe in yourself as much as God believes in you. May this be a year where you hear the voice of God calling you to a new and better place, and you do not turn away, and you do not hesitate, and you do not offer excuses. Instead, you go. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal and loving God, we thank you that even when we doubt ourselves, you place faith in us. We thank you, Lord, that even though we are unqualified, you give us great callings. We pray that we might always be courageous to step forward in that faith and to live out that calling you have given us. Help us be bold, O Lord, to follow you. To follow you wherever you lead. Bless us, Lord, this day with such a faith. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.